Okay.
So, we were looking at a number of results relating to state-dependent arrival and departure rates, and we saw that we could, at some level, address them in a unified fashion in terms of calculating what the probability distribution for those sorts of queues was. And we looked at a number of examples that might be of interest in the networking field. The final sort of queue we're going to look at is a priority queue. And the idea here is that some of the traffic is more important than other bits. So, we can all think of examples where this would be the case. For instance, if you have control packets, they should perhaps be favored over data packets, since they're whatever information is in them needs to be acted on immediately. Emergency calls, similarly. And what we'll see is that if we have a very small number of high-priority customers and they have low requirements, then we can serve these high-priority customers without significantly impacting on the service of the low-priority customers. You can probably imagine other examples where certain data might be more important than others. For instance, the video transmissions over bulk data transport. And you could think about prioritizing that as well. The issue with doing that is then the high-priority traffic is not necessarily small in respect to the low-priority traffic. And so you might be disproportionately sort of disadvantaging low priority traffic. So, again, other policies, such as we were discussing with, when we looked at DiffServe, might be more advantageous. Okay. So, what priority does is it affects the order of service for your jobs. Okay, so higher priority jobs are served before lower priority jobs. Now there's two possible ways we can do this, and these are either non-preemptive or preemptive. And in the case of preemption, then you would stop service on a job to serve a higher priority job. In non-preemptive service, you would always complete whatever job was in service currently and then pick the highest priority job to serve next. Okay. Now, preemption is more difficult to implement in that you have to have some way of dealing with the jobs with the job that gets stopped. And typically, if you assume that your job is not sort of very, very large, then it suffices to have a non-preemptive priority service. And this is what we're going to deal with. Okay. So, we're going to consider having M classes of priority. where the highest priority is the Mth class. So the higher the number, the higher priority. And each class will have its own arrival rate and service rate, and what we're going to be concerned with is the second moments. What we're going to need to know is the second moments of the service time for each class in turn. Okay. Now the arrival rates define the mix of traffic types, so if things are arriving faster, there are going to be more of them. Okay, so the overall rate, lambda, is the sum of all the arrival rates. Then ri, so the ratio of the ith traffic type or traffic class, is just lambda I over lambda. So it's the proportion of the incoming traffic that is of a particular class I. Okay. And the service rate, again, is going to be essentially a weighted average of all the of the service rates of the various types of jobs. And service time, which is 1 over the service rate, is just a weighted average of the various types. Okay, so we can just, again, it's fairly straightforward what happens. So we can look at a class P customer arriving into the queue, and there could already be a customer in the queue in service. We assume that if you have same priority customers, then they're served on a first-come, first-served basis, and then they're served from highest priority to lowest priority. In addition to joining the queue, higher priority customers will essentially jump the queue. So if you have if you're waiting for service and more high priority customers arrive, they are served ahead of you. Okay, so what we might be interested in is on a class by class basis, we might want to determine what the average waiting time is for a customer of a given class to get service. Okay. And so here we, as an example, we have a customer of class 5 arriving, and there's already a customer in service, and there are a number of higher priority customers waiting as well. Okay. So when the current customer finishes service, then again, the customers are served on a priority basis. So we start with our highest priority customer, which is C10. And that customer is served. There is no way else has arrived, so we serve C8. And while we're serving our first C8 customer, a customer of class 9 arrives. When we're finished serving this, customer of class 9 is the highest priority. They're served. At some point, a customer of class 4 arrives. They're low priority, so they get to of what's available. So they go to the back of the queue. When C9 is done, C8 is served. Then C6. And finally, there's just our original customer of class, our customer of class 5, and then the newly arrived customer of class 4, and our customer of class 5 receives service. Okay. So what we see is that if WP is the total time the arriving class P customer waits, then this has a number of components. We have to serve the job that is already in service. We have to serve any higher priority or equal or higher priority job that's already waiting when our customer P or class P customer arrives. And we also have to serve any higher priority job that arrives while customer of class P is waiting. Okay, so TK then is the time to serve waiting customers, so customers that are there when our class P customer arrives. And TK star is the time it takes to serve customers who arrive higher priority customers that arrive after the arrival of our job. Okay. So we can calculate, we can calculate the averages for these values. So we have the average waiting time is the average residual time in service plus the time it takes to the average time it takes to serve the existing customers of class K. So on average, upon arrival, we'll see an average number of customers of class K. We'll call that EMK. And we can use Little's law to relate that to the average waiting time. So the expected number of customers waiting is equal to lambda k times the expected wait time. Okay. So if we have EMK, on average EMK customers, and each one of them is going to take an average time of 1 over mu k to serve, then putting that together, so ETK is EMK over mu k is lambda k over mu k EWK. And this means that it's rho k EWK. And so, similarly, if we ask, how long does it take to serve customers that arrive after the arrival of our customer, then The length now is related to the waiting time of our, we can use Little's Law to relate the length, the average number of customers to the length of the average length of the waiting time. And so we have E mu k star is lambda k E W P. And as before, it takes 1 over mu k time, the time to serve that customer. Any one customer is 1 over mu k. So you get rho k e to the w, e expected, the expected waiting time of class P now. Okay, so we can combine those together and we get, this equation, EWP equals ET0, sum from P to M, so over all priorities P and greater, rho k EWK, plus priorities strictly greater than P, that rho k EWP, so the ones that arrive while we're waiting. We can solve this iteratively now in terms of ET0, starting with our highest priority class, P equals M, for which, obviously, this is that's the simplest we can make that equation. And so in that case, for P equals M, we get EWM equals ET0, and then rho M EWM. Okay, so we have this term doesn't exist. This term, we just have k equals m, so we get rho m EWM. Okay, so that's, and solving for EWM, we get ET0 over 1 minus rho m. Okay, so we then just, we again work our way down the priorities. Once we have EWM, we can solve for the EWM minus 1, and plug in ET0 rho m e to EWM plus rho m minus 1 EWM minus 1 plus rho m again e to WM minus 1. Okay, we can again solve for EWM minus 1. Okay, and we get, again, something in terms of ET0. Okay, if you generalize that equation, then we get EWP is ET0 times divided by 1 minus sum P plus 1m rho k times 1 minus some P to m rho k. Okay. And we can define sigma P as some k equals P to m rho k, and that just simplifies our notation a bit. Okay, so we now have our expected waiting times in terms of our what's called residual average residual service time. So, essentially, we need to know on average how long it takes to serve the job that is currently, which is in service when we arrive. Okay. And to calculate that, we would just, we can take a time average, essentially, and over and we can see how much service time is remaining at any given point. So if we think when we start a job, as time goes on, the remaining time obviously decreases, and it goes down linearly each time. Okay. So if the area under any of these given triangles is obviously 1/2 tau squared. Okay, and so that's where we get this form from. And so then the question is just how many jobs do you have of any given type? Okay. So for any job of type J, then you have some expected number of jobs of that type, call it MJ. Okay, and so again, that's the ratio of the different traffic, that's given by the ratio of the different traffic mixes. Okay, so we can solve that out. What we do is we multiply by MJ top and bottom. And so you can see we get these two components. We get the sum I equals 1 to MJT tau squared I over MJT. And that just gives us the expectation of tau squared. Okay. Now, MJT over T, that's, you know, the number of jobs of type J divided by T, and that's our rate, so that's our lambda J. And of course that 1/2 was just pulled out. Okay, so we get some J over all the types of jobs, 1/2 lambda J e to the tau J squared. Okay. So again, we can clean up our notation. If we let E tau squared be some Ri E tau I squared, so just the weighted average of the different types of jobs, then E T0 is 1/2 lambda E tau squared. Okay, so that gives us a way of calculating ET0, and then from that, your average waiting times. Okay, so just to take an example and play around with it a bit, we're going to look at two priorities, high and low. So priority 2 is high, priority 1 is low. So our expected waiting time for high priority jobs is ET0 over 1 minus rho 2. And our waiting time for low priority jobs is ET0 over 1 minus rho 2 times 1 minus rho 1 minus rho 2, or 1 minus rho. So what we see from that is that our waiting time for low priority jobs is greater than our low waiting time for high priority jobs by a factor of 1 minus rho. Okay, and so the higher rho is, the greater the disparity between the two waiting times will be. Okay, so here we have, for instance, if rho is 0.8, then the waiting time, the average waiting time for the low priority jobs is 5 times that of the high priority jobs. Okay, now remember that overall, the total waiting time is constant. So if you give the priority to one class, then the other class will suffer. Okay, so again, just looking at an example, we can think of having data packets which have an average length and a variance on the service time of sigma d squared is 2 over mu d squared. And control packets, which are of fixed length and, again, represent a small proportion of the overall arrivals. Our link has a transmission speed of 64 kilobits per second, and so our service times are a function of the packet length and the transmission speed. Okay, and in this case, we've just say with that our rho is 0.75. So we can calculate average waiting times with and without priority being given to control packets. Okay. So as I said, our service time is a function of the transmission speed and the packet length. And so we can and our rate is, you know, again, 1 over the time. So our data rate is 8 packets per second. Our control rate is 400 packets per second. Okay. Now, in order to determine our arrival rates, we can use our utilization factor rho and our service rates mu. Okay. So rho is 0.75, and that's a combination of the arrival rate for control packets, which is RC lambda, divided by the service rate, and the arrival rate for data packets, which is RD lambda divided by the service rate for data packets. Okay, and so we know RC and RD. We know mu C and mu D, so we can solve this for lambda. Okay. And so, given lambda, we can calculate then lambda d and lambda c. Okay. Now, our second moment, e tau squared, is again a weighted combination of e tau squared for each of our data types. And so we get 0.99 e tau squared for our data. Okay, and so this is the variance plus the expected value squared. So here's the variance, here's our expected value squared. And for our control packets, well, our variance is 0, and our expected value is 1 over mu c. Okay, So, combining those, we again get a value for e tau squared. So, if we have no priority, our waiting time is lambda over 2, 1 minus rho e tau squared, and that gives us 562 milliseconds. If we have priority now, then we have to calculate ET0, then E, and then our EWs in terms of ET0. Okay, so calculating ET0, it's lambda C E tau C squared plus 2 plus lambda D E tau squared D plus 2, and we get 0.14. And so our waiting time is ET0. For our higher priority packets, for our control packets, our waiting time is ET0 divided by 1 minus rho C. Gives us 140 milliseconds. With this value of rho C. EWD can again be calculated as 1 minus rho C times 1 minus rho, and that'll give us 562 milliseconds. Okay, so what we see here is that we have really speeded up the throughput of our control packets. The waiting time for our control packets has been sort of vastly reduced, but since the control packets are such a small part of the overall traffic, we have actually not really impacted on the waiting time, we haven't impacted overly much on the waiting time for our data packets. They're essentially not delayed much more than they would have been anyway. Okay. So, one thing to note is that even with priority, the control packets are slowed by ET0, which is going to be dominated by the residual service time for the data packets. If you really need better than that, you're going to have to go to a preemptive scheme. We could ask what effect rho has on our waiting times. And again, what you would expect is that overall, the closer rho gets to 1, the longer your waiting times are going to be. But, again, if we prioritize our control packets, we see that from 140 milliseconds, the waiting time increases to 178 milliseconds, but still in the same region. Okay, the increase, again, will be due to the increase in the residual service time. Now, the delay for the data packets goes up from 562 milliseconds to 3.56 seconds. So what we see here is that we're definitely seeing the effects of a heavy load on the system, but we're confining those effects primarily to the data, the data portion of our traffic stream. And so if you go on and on, that effect just magnifies it. Your waiting time for control packets will go up slightly just because your residual service time is growing by a small amount. But as you get closer and closer to full utilization, we see the impact on the queue size in general, and that is felt by the data packets, which are waiting longer and longer. Okay, so again, we've set up our problem in a very particular way so that our high priority packets represent a small amount of the overall network traffic. And, you know, just intuitively, it does make sense that if you only have a small amount of traffic that you're trying to get through fast, then you're able to do that, and it's not going to have a great impact on the vast bulk of the traffic. Okay, so this result will not hold if the high priority traffic is representing a greater load on the system. So again, if it's the bulk of the traffic, and if it's time or resource intensive, then, well, arriving high priority traffic will just end up queuing behind other high priority packets. And so we won't see this effect. Okay. So that's what we're going to say about single queues. We will next look at networks of queues. So we'll look at what can we say if we string a bunch of queues together. But in examining single queues, these are the results that we're going to consider in this module. Okay, and so just I won't belabor this, but just to wrap up what we saw, we can think that there are two basic types of queues. We have loss queues. So if you have finite places, then when you have no more places left, then any additional arrivals will be lost. And we have then delay queues, where we assume that jobs can keep entering the buffer, and they will eventually receive service. And so our delay queues are represented by infinite buffers. And in this case, we say that the arrival rate is equal to the throughput. Any job that arrives eventually leaves. The queue will be unstable if our arrival rate is greater than our service rate. And that's in the case rho is greater than 1. And even in the case rho equals 1, the queue will be problematic. In loss systems, again, we have finite buffers. In general, the arrival rate can be greater than our throughput now, because some of the arrivals, if they arrive to a full system, are lost. If we think about Poisson arrivals, then the probability of blocking, or the probability of loss, is the probability that we arrive to a full system is Pn. We can consider not just the offered traffic, but we can consider the carried traffic to be normalized by the amount of traffic, to remove the amount of traffic that's lost. Okay. And this brings us back into a case where gamma over, or carried traffic over mu, is going to be less than one. We looked at Little's Law, and it's a nice result in that it is independent of the actual distributions on arrivals and service. And what we saw is that we could use it later on if we could. If we knew either N or the average number in the system or the average waiting time, then you can use that to get the other. And for a lot of the cases, we looked at one or the other, and then used that to get the first. So our first, queues where we had a Poisson arrival process, and again the Poisson process had all of these nice features, including the Poisson arrival C time average feature, which allowed us to consider state distributions, or allowed us to calculate and use the distribution of the queues, of the number in the queue. Okay, the first result we looked at was for MG1 queues, and for these we noted that we could calculate the average waiting time given the second moment of the service distribution. Again, if we have the average waiting time, we can use that to find our average number in the system. We then started looking at queues that had both Poisson arrivals and Poisson departures. And for these sorts of queues, we saw that we could calculate the probability of being in any given state, where again state is the number in the system. So that gives us our, if we have this distribution, we can obviously calculate the expectation, which is our average N. From that we can use Little's Law to calculate T. And so we looked at a lot of results that dealt with MM1 distributions, where either the rates were fixed, so that was our first set of results, or the rates were state-dependent, and that's what we looked at today. So we had MM1 with bulking, MMM, and either as a delay or a loss system, and that led us to our Erlon formulas. Our final results were around priority. Okay. Queuing. This is just a summary of how we approach these MM queues. And a PK is a function of the arrival and departure, the ratio of arrival to departure rates, and the initial probability P0. If we then use the trick of summing all our probabilities to 1, we can solve for P0 and plug that back in to, again, get any PK. Given this entire distribution of being in any state, you can, again, determine, blocking probabilities, you can determine your average number in the state, the average number in the system, from that you can determine your average waiting times. Okay, and our final topic was the priority queues, and we saw that for any job arriving with a specific priority, the average waiting time consisted of the residual service time the average time to serve higher priority jobs already, higher or equal priority jobs that were already waiting when you arrived, and the average time to serve higher priority jobs that arrived while you were waiting. And we solved that recursively in terms of our residual service times. Okay, so that's it. That's what we're going to, again, say about single queues. The next topic we'll look at is networks of queues.